You know, one of the things about being a Christian, a follower of Christ, and I've mentioned this a lot, and I feel like this is significant, and this is one of the things that differentiates Christianity from other religions, is that it's not just a set of beliefs, or it's not just a practice that we do. It's so much more than that. To be a Christian, a follower of Christ, is to walk in a supernatural life. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. It's moving from death into light. It is moving away from what is old and becoming new. 2 Corinthians says that our old nature, all creation, has passed away, and that God is making all things new. And that our problem is worse than we could ever know, but that God's solution in Jesus Christ is better than you could ever imagine. And beloved, one of the things I feel like God's been teaching me probably the last couple of years is just our salvation is so much deeper and more beautiful than I could have ever imagined. And there keeps on being more and more of a depth. And salvation isn't something that you experience once and you move on with your life. Like, no, salvation is this glorious thing that Jesus has done for us. And every day it reveals itself deeper and unfolds itself. And when all is said and done and we're in heaven, do you know what we're going to be celebrating? The salvation that was won by the Lamb of God. It's unbelievable. So in Romans, this was written by Paul, and he's writing to this church in Rome. And actually, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but the whole world knew about their faith in Rome, which is unbelievable. The whole world knew about it and was talking about it. And he's writing to this church, and the first seven chapters are just so thick, and he is laying the foundation for how depraved we are, that we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. And Jesus' amazing rescue of us and how he brought us, that we were dead, we were stuck, and he rescued us and saved us. And the first seven chapters lays out all these things and how Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the one who has rescued us, and being dead, stuck in our trespasses, he has saved us. And we are now free. And we sang about that this morning. And then there's Romans 8, which is this transition in the book of Romans. And it is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. And honestly, this morning, I wish we could just read this again and again, maybe 10 times, so that we get in our brains. Honestly, sometimes I feel like there's pieces of scripture that if we knew this, if we said it to ourselves, like even in the mirror in the morning, to wake up and speak to yourself the truth of God, it'd change your life, right? It would change your life. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then we're just going to... Actually, is there a good reader? Is there someone who has a good voice? Can you get up and declare this truth? I should have let you know that it was really long. Maybe that wasn't fair. Can you go to that first verse, Jed? Is that amazing? I want to start by just reading that first verse, because this is pivotal in the book of Romans, and this essentially is the heart of the good news of Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can we say that together? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Unbelievable. It's not that we don't make mistakes. It's not that we don't have failures. It's not that we never sin. Because we do. We make mistakes, but we do not suffer any condemnation anymore. Isn't that incredible? This is a freeing verse. And beloved, honestly, I feel like this is something that a lot of Christians don't believe. Sure, they can quote the verse. Good for you, you quoted a verse. But do you believe this? Because, beloved, if you believed this, this would set you free. And you know what? Even the power over sin in your life would be broken. This is the power of the blood of Jesus, that sin has been paid for, that death has been broken. There's now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because Jesus fulfilled the payment for our sins. And since God the Father looks at Jesus and doesn't condemn Jesus, because we are in Jesus, we don't get condemned either. It's unbelievable good news. And I heard it said like this, and this was well said. It's the difference between this, that there was a heavenly court trial, and it is behind you. It's kind of like there was a court trial that happened. There was a verdict that was done that happened, and it's behind you. And the verdict was that you are not guilty, and that was happening before. And now you're moving on, knowing that that court case is behind you, and that you're not guilty, and you're moving on, and you're free. So it's the difference between that happening or the opposite, where there is a trial in front of you for everything that you've done in your life. And based on your performance, that's going to be what the outcome of the trial is going to be. Do you see the difference? That trial happened, and that verdict is not guilty. Not that you didn't sin, but it's that you're not guilty. Why? Because someone paid for your sin. So do you see how to see that trial behind you and know that you are not guilty would change the way that you live? You're not like worried about sin anymore. You're not worried like, oh, this is really going to mess it up. You would be free, as opposed to, I've really got to get my act together because everything I do wrong is going to haunt me. You know? The one is freedom. The one is just condemnation. And beloved, there are so many Christians who live thinking that they have to perform in a certain way because it's all going to be thrown in your face. Beloved, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because we have been justified. It's as if we have never sinned. Do you realize that's the way the Father looks on you? It's as if you never sinned. I'm going to say this, and don't run away with this. Paul actually says, like, does this mean that we can keep on sinning? No, by no means. But beloved, I want you to know that even if you mess up so bad today, if you are in Christ, the Father looks on you as if you had never sinned. That is radical. That is absolutely radical. Do you know that this is where sin is just thrown upside down? You know, if there are things that you sin and you keep on sinning, you're like, oh man, I'm going to try harder next time. That is a spiral to nowhere. Do you know where the victory is? I messed up. Thank you, Jesus, that this is not who I am. Thank you, Jesus, that sin is paid for. And you move on. You wake up the next morning not like feeling guilt and shame, because that's condemnation. And you know what? The enemy of our soul wants nothing better than, okay, sure, okay, you're a Christian, fine, we'll give that to you. But do you know what? The rest of their life, I'm going to condemn them for their stupid things that they do every day. That's what the enemy of our soul wants to do. Condemn us, accuse us. He's called the accuser of the brethren to always throw that stuff on us. But you know what? You can say all you want, but it's not true. It's not true. Isn't that good? You can wake up the next morning and go like this, I'm glad yesterday's done, and you just move on. Right? Because we have been set free. We are no longer under condemnation. So I'm going to say something, but please don't run this away. So go ahead and sin today. You know, go ahead and do stupid things. You're probably going to, you know. But you know what? If you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. It is so unbelievable. Thank you, God, for Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, we're talking about mothers and just that enormous task of raising kids. You know, there can be a lot of condemnation of some of the stupid things you do as a mother. You know, like, oh, you know, that haunting, like, gosh, I should have done that differently. But you know what? In Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Thank you, God. Then to move on, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. You're no longer bound in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and the law of death. For God has done what the law, weakened from the flesh, couldn't do. God did it by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, man. That was tough. He condemned sin. It's not like he was on the side saying, sin, be away with. No, he condemned sin. He took sin and he condemned it. We're not condemned, but sin is. And that law of sin was completely broken. That law of death is broken. See, the law can do a lot of things, and the law is actually good. It can guide us, it can teach us, it can tell us about God's character, it can do all those things, but the law can't give you power to do it. Do you see that? Like, we can learn all about who God is, and we can know what is right, and it's good to know what's right, but do you know what? Just knowing what's right doesn't give you any power to do it, and that's what Jesus did. He broke that law, because there's no way that you could ever satisfy it. Did you know that the scripture says that if you break one law, you break all of them? That's why Jesus had to come. Because you can have a good moment, but to have a good day, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that's why Jesus came, and he has set us free. He has condemned sin, and he has fulfilled the law. But not only that, like, not only have we experienced that beautiful salvation, but he's actually given us power to do the things that God wants us to do. It's unbelievable. Can you flip to the next verse? In order that the righteous requirements of law would be fulfilled in us. And then this is where I really want to spend some time talking about. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, there's two different pieces that are warring inside of us. Our flesh, like that's who we are, the core of who we are, and our flesh is bad. Our flesh is evil. Our flesh is filthy, and our flesh wants to please our desires, and that is in all of us. As soon as you are born, like, you have that. There's nothing in you that is going to pursue God. In fact, our flesh is hostile towards God. That's what it says. It's our flesh is actually at war against God. We don't want God. Why? Because to follow God would be that our flesh would have to say, be put down. They'd say no, and it'd submit to Christ. And we don't want that naturally. We're hostile to that because we want our way. It's unbelievable. So it says that they walk according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And what is that talking about? It's talking about thinking continually about and constantly desiring the things of that nature. Their minds on that. Your whole focus, everything you're thinking about is how do I please that nature? And that is who you were before Christ. Your whole mind, you couldn't think about pleasing God because it was all about you. That's where your mind was set. So the mind of the flesh is given to death and it is hostile to God. But those who live, can you go back? Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So my question for you this morning is, where's your mind? Where's your mind? Where's your mindset? Where's your focus? So before Christ, like, there was no option. Like, it wasn't like there's no question even. It was just your mind was on your flesh. You were given to death. You were hostile towards God. But now, because of Jesus, he's set you free. And do you know what? We can ask that question, where is your mind? Because we can now, in freedom, because of Jesus, set our mind on the things of the Spirit. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the Spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh is death. Can you go next slide? But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So the mind fixed on the flesh is death, is hostile to God. But the mind that's set on the Spirit, the mind that is focused on the Spirit, is life and peace. Isn't that good? That's a good day. Life and peace. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, it's interesting. That's why it has nothing to do with doing good things. You know, like one of the answers, you know, about Christianity or going to God, getting to heaven, is like, well, if I do enough good things, I'll get to heaven. What a lie. What a lie. Because anything that you do in yourself is garbage to God. There's nothing of value to it, because everything that you do in your flesh is actually hostile towards God. So even if you, like this is before Christ, even if you are doing good things, those good things that you're doing is actually against God. Like, it's not good. It's filthy rags. It's ruined because of our flesh. This is why Jesus had to make us alive, because we were dead and there's nothing that we could produce that would bring God glory or please him. There's nothing we could do. That's why Jesus had to rescue us. We cannot please God in the flesh. But, and this is good news, verse 9 says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? The moment you give your life to Jesus, you are no longer in the flesh. Like, you're no longer slaves to that. You are in the Spirit. So you're not a slave anymore. You are in the Spirit. And you can fix your mind on the things of the Spirit and be given to the things of the Spirit for life and peace. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And, beloved, do you know who is a Christian? If you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Scripture says that the Spirit is given as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So if the Spirit is in you, you're a Christian. That's it. That's the mark of Christ on your life. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Can you go next slide? But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit of him who dwells in you. Is that good? Honestly, this verse, I was like, we just need to read this 8 times and then we'll be good. You know? One thing that's amazing about Jesus is Jesus in his own power didn't raise himself from the dead. Jesus died. Jesus was dead when he paid for our sin. And it was the Spirit that raised him from the dead. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. When you came to Christ and you gave your life to Jesus, his Holy Spirit was given in you to give you life and peace and joy and power to do the things that you could not do on your own. And he will also give life to your mortal bodies, because this body still is going to die. Like, you're still going to die, but he is going to raise you. This is the resurrection that we celebrate, that just as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead, we also will be. If Jesus comes back while I'm alive, we're going to be caught up with him in the sky. But if we die, we will be raised with him. And this is the hope that we have. This is why we don't fear death. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Right? We don't need to fear death because we know how it ends. It's Jesus at the beginning. It's Jesus at the end. Just as he said, I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the whole thing. I'm the whole thing. So thank God that the Spirit actually dwells in us. And this isn't like this casual conversation that you have with God and you keep on having to come and meet with God. It's that he dwells in you. He resides in you. The scripture says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Like everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit is with you. Isn't that incredible? Where can I go from your presence? He's here. He's here. He's taken up residence and he is with you. And that power will give life to you. Isn't that good? So my question for you this morning, though, is this. Where is your mind? What have you set your mind on? Because here's the deal. Like, even if you're a follower of Jesus, there's still these two natures that are at war. So positionally, you are in Christ. That spirit is in you and has set you apart for him. It guarantees what's to come. But there's still this nature that it's dead, but it's still, it flops around and it gives you all kinds of trouble. And it's at war with you. And beloved, you can be a follower of Jesus, but choose to, not because of slavery, but choose to set your mind on your flesh and do the things that you want to do. And beloved, the wages of sin is still death. Like, the consequence of sin is always death. There's never a time that you're not going to sin that it's not going to bite you. You know? That's what sin does every time. It leads to death. So my question is, where is your mind? Where are you thinking continually? Where have you set your desires and your affections? Is it on the Holy Spirit? Or is it on what you want to do on the flesh? Because if we choose the flesh, it's against God. You're actually going to be counterproductive. But if it's towards the Spirit, it's life and peace. Actually, Romans 7, right before that, talks about being stuck and wanting to do the right thing, but not being able to because you're given to the flesh. So, beloved, there's freedom in the Spirit. There's power in the Spirit. But if your mind is on the flesh, you will not live in power. You will be stuck. And beloved, that's not what we're invited to. We're invited to a life of victory. And do you know what? We have victory. We have victory. But so much of it has to do with our mind. See, the mind is the strategic battlefield where the flesh and the spirit fight. It's the mind. It's the mind. That's why scripture says that we're supposed to renew our mind, that our mind would be given to the Lord, that it would be made new, that we'd have new desires, new thoughts, that he would be Lord over our mind, because this is where all the battles go. And beloved, this is why the enemy of our soul is a liar, because this is where the battle is. So he always attacks it with lies. So set your mind on the things that are of the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not satisfy the desires of your flesh." Isn't that crazy? If you walk by the Spirit, if you set your mind on the things that are above, not on earthly things, and you keep your mind there, do you know what the scripture says? It actually says that you'll have power not to gratify the flesh. That's amazing. Do you want to break sin in your life? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Like, set your mind on things that are above. Set your mind on the Spirit. Put your affections, put your desires, everything on what God wants. And if you do that, you'll have power over sin. And so many people go wrong by looking at the sin like, I've got to deal with that. How am I going to deal with that? And the scripture says, set your eyes on Jesus. You know, set your eyes on Jesus. Get up, look up. You're not going to navigate your sin by staring at it. The only victory you're going to have is to set your mind on the Spirit. Set your mind on things above. And if you do that, you will not gratify sin. That's why that first verse that we talked about, there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The victory over sin is not like staring at it and saying, I'm going to do better next time. No, the victory of sin is to look to Christ and say, thank you that there's now no condemnation for me, and you move on. That's where the power of sin is broken. Amen? Amen. Joel and Angela, do you guys want to come up? You know, some Sundays are really challenging, and others it's like comforting, and others are, you know, kind of talking about sin. Like, you know, the Word of God talks about our whole life. And beloved, this morning, I really feel like it was just about knowing what's true. You need to know what's true. You need to know that you are in Christ. You need to know that you've been given a new nature. And you need to know that you have a choice where you're going to set your mind. But that there is freedom, there is life, and there is peace when we set our mind on Christ. So I want you to spend just a couple moments. And I want you to ask the question, like, where is your mind? What are you thinking? What have you decided to listen to? Where are you giving your focus? And beloved, some of you need to repent. Repent is a word used that means to have a change of mind, right? I've been looking here and I need to actually change my mind and look to the Spirit. I need to look above, not here on these earthly things. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for life right here, right now. Beloved, we are followers of Jesus Christ, and He has won the victory and allowed us to walk in that freedom. So as Christians, like, let's take advantage of this, you know? If you're in Christ, you're saved. But let's walk in His fullness now. Let's fix our eyes and set our heart on Him. Amen? God, I thank You so much for the Word of God. Thank You for setting us free. Thank You for the Holy Spirit in us, dwelling in us. God, I ask in Jesus' name that You'd remind us again and again and again what is true, that we would look to You, that we wouldn't be caught up staring at the things of this world, caught up staring at our flesh, but that we'd always go back to You. And Father, I'm asking this morning that there would be a change of mind, one more time, a change of mind, that we'd look to You. I'm asking this in Jesus' name.